All right, welcome back to the deep dive. We're diving right into your gardens this week.
That's right.
Focusing on the absolute must-do tasks for, let's see, the first week of April.
Okay.
And our guiding light this week is going to be the expertise coming from the folks over at gardenadvice.co.uk.
Mm-hmm.
So think of this as your essential briefing to get your gardens really humming for the season ahead.
Yeah, this is a really critical time of year. It really is a make or break kind of week. You know, the actions that you take this week will have consequences throughout the entire season.
Okay.
And that's true whether you're, you know, a big flower enthusiast or you're trying to grow as many vegetables as possible, or, you know, you just want to have a nice, beautiful yard.
Right.
This is the week to do it. So this particular source is really packed with tips and tricks for us.
Right.
Covering everything from the proper time to prune those spring flowering shrubs to getting those early vegetable seeds in and even getting a head start on those pesky garden pests.
Okay, so let's start with the topic of pruning. Now, this might surprise some people.
Okay.
When we're talking about those early spring flowering shrubs, your ribes, your forsythia, even your cherry trees, camellias, magnolias, all those beautiful flowering trees. And actually what we should be doing with those right now is to keep the pruning shears in the shed for just a little bit longer.
Just a little bit longer. And that's actually really important, because what's interesting about those particular shrubs is that they actually make their flowers on last year's growth, or sometimes even older growth.
Oh.
So if you go ahead and prune them, now you're going to be taking off this year's flower show before you even get to enjoy it.
Oh. So when is the proper time to prune?
So the recommendation is to prune them immediately after they're done flowering. And that's important because it gives the shrub the entire rest of the growing season, a whole 12 months to make new growth. And it's that new growth that's going to have the flowers next year.
Yeah.
So if you prune too late, you risk taking off those flower buds for next year.
Gotcha. Okay. And then once we've finished pruning them, does the advice stop there?
Not at all. They also recommend fertilizing the shrubs after you're done pruning.
Okay.
Just to make sure they have all the nutrients they need to really fuel that new growth.
Makes sense.
And make a ton of flowers next year.
Okay, so let's move away from the flower garden and on to the vegetable garden. Now, early April is a great time to get some vegetable seeds started.
It is.
What should we be sowing?
Well, they really emphasize tomatoes, courgettes, sweet corn.
Okay.
And others. So think about, you know, your favorites.
Right.
And get those started now.
Now, are we going directly into the vegetable garden or?
Not quite yet. The recommendation is to start these seeds indoors in peat pots on a windowsill.
Yeah.
And that gives them a really protected environment, a nice warm
safe
environment to germinate and make those first little bit of growth before they have to go outside.
Oh, okay. So what are the things we need to keep in mind for successful windowsill gardening?
You know, I think the two biggest factors are moisture and light. So those peat pots need to be kept nice and damp.
Oh.
But not sopping wet.
Mm.
And one way to do that is to place your peat pots inside of a tray that has a little bit of water in it.
Uh-huh.
And then the pots will wick the water up from the bottom.
Oh, so it doesn't get waterlogged on the top.
Exactly.
That's a clever idea.
Yeah.
And then what about light?
That's the other really important factor.
Right.
Because even a bright windowsill might not have the same intensity of light as outside. So one tip is to give those seedlings a little bit of outdoor time on a nice warm day.
Okay.
You know, really soak up that sun. Just make sure you bring them back in at night.
Right. Protect them from the cold. Now, what if someone is, you know, short on time or short on windowsill real estate? What's the alternative?
Yeah. So you can definitely just go ahead and purchase young seedlings from a garden center. And the interesting thing is that a lot of those seedlings actually get started very early, sometimes even right after Christmas.
Wow.
In a heated greenhouse.
Uh-huh.
So they already have a big head start.
Okay.
And that might help you get an earlier harvest.
Oh, so it's a trade-off, the satisfaction of starting from seed.
Yeah.
Or the speed and the earliness of just getting those young plants already started.
Oh, totally.
Okay. Now let's talk about starting an asparagus bed. I've always been curious about growing asparagus.
Yeah, it's a fun one.
What's the best way to get started?
So now is actually a really great time to get started with asparagus.
Okay.
And they suggest two different methods. You can either grow them from seed, which take a little bit longer, or you can purchase two-year-old roots.
Gotcha.
Which will get you to a harvest much faster, maybe within a year or two.
I like faster. All right, and what about soil preparation?
Yeah, so soil prep is really important for asparagus. They like a slightly acidic soil.
Okay.
and they specifically recommend well-rotted horse manure as a mulch, which is going to not only enrich the soil, but also help retain some moisture.
Yeah.
But then this is the really strange part. They also recommend adding just a little bit of salt to the soil.
Salt.
Really? And that's because asparagus naturally grows in coastal regions.
Oh.
And so just a little bit of salt mimics that and can actually help them grow better.
That's a great gardening tip.
Yeah.
I never would have thought of that. Now, we've got our future asparagus bed in mind, but, you know, asparagus takes a long time. What about getting some quick crops going in the vegetable garden? What's the strategy there?
Yeah, so the strategy is to use what's called continuous sowing, which basically means that instead of planting all of your seeds at once, you're going to do small plantings at regular intervals.
Okay.
And that will give you a nice, steady supply of vegetables over the whole course of the spring and summer.
Yeah, you don't want all your vegetables ready at the same time.
Right.
So what can we sow directly into the garden right now?
So they specifically mentioned carrots, spinach, peas, and all kinds of different salad greens.
Okay.
No lettuces, arugula, things like that.
Okay, gotcha. And would we be using cloches for any of that?
They do recommend using cloches.
Yeah.
Especially with this unpredictable spring weather.
Okay, remind everyone what a cloche is.
So a cloche is a transparent cover that you put over the soil. Usually it's like a little tunnel shape.
Okay.
And that creates like a little mini greenhouse.
Okay.
So it's going to protect those seedlings from the wind and the rain, but it's also going to warm up the soil.
So they have a warmer environment to germinate.
Exactly.
Now let's talk about earthing up. Everyone who's got potatoes growing is probably thinking about earthing up right now. What exactly is that?
So if you've planted your potatoes and you're starting to see those green shoots pop up above the soil, then it's time to earth them up.
Mm.
And all that means is that you're going to mound some soil up around those shoots to create a little ridge. You don't want to bury them completely.
Okay.
But you want to make sure that you're covering the lower portion of those stems.
Okay, so what are the benefits of doing that?
So two main benefits. First of all, it's going to protect those tender shoots from any late frost that might still happen in April.
Okay.
And second of all, it's going to encourage more potatoes.
How?
So potatoes actually form on underground stems.
Okay.
So by mounding more soil up, you're giving that stem more area to make potatoes. And, you know, keeping the potatoes underground also keeps them from turning green.
Right. So they're not exposed to the sun.
Exactly.
Okay. And what about for greenhouse enthusiasts? What should we be focusing on this week?
So in early spring, in a greenhouse environment, you know, it can be a little bit challenging, but one of the most important things to do is to keep the humidity levels low.
Okay. Why is that?
Well, this time of year, you know, it can still be cold outside.
Right.
And if you've got a warm greenhouse and it's very humid, that's the perfect environment for diseases to spread. So all kinds of fungal and bacterial problems can really get a foothold.
Okay. And how do we keep that humidity down?
Ventilation is really your best friend. So on warm days, you definitely want to open those greenhouse vents up.
Hi.
Let all that moist air escape. They close them back up at night to keep the heat in. And then also they recommend using horticultural fleece as kind of like a blanket to cover plants up at night.
Okay. And does that affect humidity?
It does. So the fleece will trap some of the heat, but it won't trap the moisture.
Oh, okay. That's smart.
Yeah.
Now, on to pests. How about slug management this week?
Ugh, slugs, a gardener's worst nightmare.
Yep.
So early intervention is really important with slugs.
Okay.
If you get on top of them now, you know, before they do too much damage, it'll save you a lot of heartache later on.
Yep.
And they suggest two different approaches.
Okay.
So one is using slug nematodes.
Okay. Remind us what those are.
Yeah, so slug nematodes are microscopic organisms, little tiny creatures that live in the soil. And they basically parasitize the slugs and kill them. So you introduce them into the soil, and then they'll take care of the slugs for you.
And is this a one-time application?
You'll probably have to apply them a couple of times.
Okay.
But they're very effective.
All right. And what about a more media strategy if we're seeing a lot of slugs right now?
Yeah, so the other option is to use beer traps.
Now, I've heard of these, but I've never tried it. How does it work?
It's actually really simple.
Mm-hmm.
You just take like an old margarine container or a yogurt container, something shallow.
Okay.
You bury it in the ground so that the rim is level with the soil.
Okay.
And then you fill it with beer.
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 Why?
So slugs are attracted to the yeast in beer.
Oh.
So they'll crawl in thinking they're going to get a nice little snack. and they fall in and they drown.
So it's a trap.
It's a trap.
And you can also tell how bad your slug problem is.
Yeah, you can monitor
by how many are in the trap. That's fascinating. Okay, lastly, let's talk about fruit trees. Now, it's been kind of a dry spring in a lot of areas. What should we be doing for our fruit trees right now?
Yeah, so it is important to make sure that your fruit trees get enough water.
Yeah.
Especially if it's been dry.
Why?
Because if they get too stressed, mm-hmm. they might actually start to drop their fruit prematurely.
Oh, no.
Just to conserve resources. So we want to make sure okay. they're nice and hydrated.
And how much water should we be giving them?
They recommend giving each tree a couple of watering cans full of water.
All right, a couple of watering cans full of water for your fruit trees. Now, before we wrap up, I know that gardenadvice.co.uk has kind of an interesting community program. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
They do. It's called the Root, Shoot, and Share Scheme.
And what is that exactly?
So basically, if you are a member of Garden Advice, then you have access to free plants.
Oh.
Which is amazing. They also have this annual plant swap. It's huge. Over 3,000 plants. And if you're new to Garden Advice, you can claim 12 free plants as a welcome gift.
That's amazing.
That's a really great way to connect with other gardeners and get some new plants.
And expand your collection. Well, that brings us to the end of our deep dive into these April gardening tasks, all with help from gardenadvice.co.uk. We covered a lot of ground today, from pruning those flowering shrubs to getting those vegetable seeds going to even managing those pesky slugs. What a week.
A busy week for sure.
Now, as you go out and tackle your own garden tasks this week, think about the challenges that are unique to your own garden. You know, every garden is a little bit different.
Absolutely.
And you might need to adapt some of these recommendations to really suit your microclimate and your soil. So think about that as you get out there. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.